Morning, man. So yeah, as Greg was saying, we call these things at Discoveries God sightings, right? They're how God is working in your life, what you're seeing Him do in your life, and the life of others around you, in the world around you. So I hadn't put that in my notes because I was like, I don't have time to talk about all these God sightings because I'm going to talk about many throughout this story that I'm going to share. But that was one in particular that kind of wrapped it up. It was like, okay, God, you're doing this. You put these people in this place at this time. I haven't seen Greg in a couple years. So it was just amazing how that all came to be. And to me, that was like God saying, okay, this is what I want you to do. And I'm going to talk about more about that. So when David texted me, you know, I'm like, Gideon, I'm like, I don't really see how my story relates to Gideon. I'm like, he went to war. There's lots of things I don't. And I read the story and I'm like, oh, okay. So really, I want to get into that. It's really not about my story. It's really about how God worked in the story, right? And how God worked in Gideon's story was incredible, how he heard from God. So I'm hoping that you will see that as well as I share. But I kind of have to take a step back. This is about a three-year story, and I'm going to give you kind of a timeline. There's a quiz later, and I think there's some prizes. But not really. As Greg was stating, you know, we served together at a church at Friends, and I was there for about 20 years. At that church, a small church in comparison to where I am now at Discovery. But we had felt that it was time for a change and a move, which is incredibly difficult for me, a difficult decision for me. But I think really it was God's provision all along, and we are where we're supposed to be now. So about 3 years ago, right, is when we made the transition to come to Discovery Church. And before that, I have to tell you, kind of give you a little backstory on me. Is like, I'm 52 years old. I moisturize, so I don't really look that old. But most of my life, and really up until the past few years, I really struggled with the fact that I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I was... I was worthy of leadership. I didn't feel like I knew how to do it. It goes back to stuff that happened in my childhood, home life, things that were spoken to me that kind of just stuck with me, right? I let them identify me, or I let them set my identity. and that I struggled with for a very long time. So we had decided to leave Friends because I felt like I didn't belong there any longer, right? This is something in my heart. and it wasn't necessarily for the right reasons, right, that I didn't belong there. Because I feel like I'd failed to do my part to help them to succeed, in different areas. There's just a lot of pastoral changes while I was there, several pastoral changes. And I just felt like I needed more stability. So we decided to leave the church and go to Discovery. But when we got there, I also felt like I didn't belong there, because how could I be somewhere and experience these things when I was such a failure in this other area, right? So for about a year, the worship at Discovery, I feel, is incredible. The teaching is straight from Scripture. It's amazing. All the people that come to teach are just, you can feel like they're sharing God's heart, and the Spirit is moving. But I just could not. It was just something in me that I could not experience that for about a year. And then Discovery does this thing called boot camp. It's based on John Eldridge's Wild at Heart book. And it's a 3-day men's retreat where men go just to experience God, experience what God is, what God should be in their lives, how God wired us as men. And that was in October of 21. And we talk about, or they talk about sonship. They talk about agreements that you might have made, agreement that you don't belong, agreement that you're not good enough, agreement that you this, that, or the other thing. And I had really kind of discovered that most of my life, I had held on to those agreements, right? That I was who I identified myself as, not who God identified me as. And the one thing that I really came away from that was is that I do belong, and I'm a child of God, and that I'm not defined by what other people say about me, what I say about myself even, right? Because the things that we tell ourselves in our self-talk, in our, you know, self-preservation, all these things that we try to do are not necessarily how God sees us, right? That is a thing that we need to clear out of there. And another God sighting, I'm going to share many of these with you because, and I'm not sharing all of them because there's so many in this story that I just can't share all of them with you in the time that I have. But I felt like I really had that lifted off of me. And when I came back to Discovery, our campus on the east side in Alafaya, I walk into the room and I look and there's this you know, entryway, and I look in the wall and there's this giant sign that says, "You belong here." And I was like, "Are you kidding me, God?" I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, and I was like to my wife, "How long has that sign been there?" I'm like, "I've never seen that sign." I'm like, and it was just one of those God sighting moments where it's just like God was saying, "You belong here. This is where I want you to be." So interestingly, if we look at Gideon's story, right? Judges 6:12, the first time we're introduced to Gideon, right? He's kind of out hiding. He's out trying to stay away, trying to get some stuff to food together for his family, right? He's trying to do this. And an angel of the Lord comes to him and says, greets him this way. He says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And I can imagine Gideon's like, "I'm not that guy. Who are you talking to?" Like, you got the wrong tree, the wrong, you know, this is not the space that I am in. And he even goes on to say in the next verses, right, "I'm the lowliest of my clan," and we're the weakest clan. Like, his identity was defined by what the people around him said, by what, you know, his enemy was saying, by all these different things, but it was not the identity that God wanted for him. That was mighty hero, right? So I think God wanted to lay the foundation. He's like, "Listen, I need to get that out of the way right up front, because this is who I see you as. Even though you don't believe it, this is how I see you." I come back from boot camp, right? I really feel kind of energized. And this was the first time I had experienced like a multi-day retreat with men. And it was just something that, and I've been back several times, because it's just, you start to kind of pull back that onion, open that suitcase that you're carrying around with you, a baggage that you've had for your entire life, right? But you don't just let go of the suitcase, you tend to unpack it a little bit at a time. So I really feel like that's something that I've been doing over these boot camps. So we come back, and in late October of 21, my wife and I had an opportunity to experience a class and a video that was about generous living, generous giving, right? And about being more generous, because we had decided in our lives we wanted to try to be more generous with what God has given us, because he's just incredibly, you know, blessed us so much that we need to give out of his abundance, not out of our own, you know, strength and everything. So in this video, someone had mentioned that they had donated their kidney. And we looked at it, we're like, "Oh, that's an interesting thought. Never really thought about that too much," right? You hear about donating blood, and I've done that, and different things, but just to donate a kidney, like, that seems like a pretty big, you know, thing. So just keep that in your mind. So in the year previous, right, we had begun to meet with some neighbors. And these neighbors, Jeff and Brittany, our sons are both named Jacob, They were both in elementary class together. They had become friends, so we had started to get to know them a bit and just kind of hang out with them a little bit every now and then at the pool and so on and so forth. So when this is going on, we were finding out that Jeff was experiencing some health issues. And he was having some blood pressure issues, some different things going on. And he found out that he had a kidney disease. But he was told that, you know, things seem to be going okay for you. We need to track this, but you probably have years before we really need to do anything. Right? So we just kind of just hung with that. And then a little bit forward in early 22, I had kind of gotten into a little bit of a funk because, you know, that life kind of comes back after you come off the mountain and you get things start to happen. And I just kind of gotten into a funk. And I was walking with my friend Glenn, who I do community with, also my friend Brian, who came with me today. And on this walk with Glenn, I'm like, Glenn, I just really feel like I'm not hearing from God. Like, I had this experience, I really feel like, you know, but I'm just not hearing from God. And the first words that are out of his mouth were like, sounds like you made an agreement. And I was like, oh, man. I'm like, didn't I just learn about this stuff? I'm like, I've been to one boot camp. Life should be perfect from now on, right? You know, everything. And I was like, okay. So I broke that agreement. And because if you make those agreements, you're not going to hear from God, right? If you say, I am this or I am not this, then you're going to live into that, right? And that's the way that I was living. So it's interesting because the thing that stands out to me is that the verse that you guys live by is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, right? And I like how the New King James Version puts it, is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend, right? He changed my countenance in that moment, and he helped me to get past that, right? And he didn't just, it wasn't just someone who said, oh, I'm sorry for you, I'll pray for you. He was like, I think so you got something going on, and he spoke that to me, right? He spoke truth into my life, even though it might be something that I didn't want to hear, right? But it's something I needed to hear, and we need those types of people, men in our lives, like you have here, that will speak those things into your life, because those are the times when things can change. And for me, that's a time when things really started to change. So about this same time, Jeff was learning his kidneys were failing. This is only a couple months after he's been told that he has this disease, and he could have years before he really needs to do anything. So he needs to start to go on dialysis. He needs to, you know, start looking for a new kidney, basically, because his are failing. So in March of 22, I filled out the form, and I just really felt like this is something that I need to at least step out in faith in and see what God has for me in this. And my wife was like, oh, it's going to be you. I know it's going to be you. So it was interesting, and I was like, you know, whatever, I'm just going to give it to God. If he wants me to do this, then he will be in it, and it will just work out, because that's what God does. So in Judges 6:24, right, after Gideon confirms he hears from the Lord, right, confirms what he's hearing from the Lord, which is something we all should do, right, because there's so many voices that we hear from that are trying to vie for our attention that we really need to know that it's from the Lord, truly. He builds an altar, and he calls this altar Yahweh Shalom, God's peace. And I just had peace about it. I'm like, whatever God wants to do, he's going to do. And that's, you know, how I kind of went through the whole journey. So the first thing you do for the kidney donation is you give some blood, and they decide, oh, can we even move forward with you, right? Are you even at that level a match? So I was a match, so we moved forward. I kind of correlate this back to, right, what Gideon, before he went out. Before he got the army together and everything and went out, he erected this altar called God's Peace. So to me, he was saying, no matter what you call me to do, God, I have peace about it. That's what I gleaned from that. So I was cleared to move forward, and I felt like really this was my assignment from God. This is what God wanted me to do, right? So, you know, Judges 7:2-7, right? Gideon says to God, you've got too many guys. There's just too many, right? You got 32,000 guys. That's not going to show my glory. So I need you to take them down a notch. So they go down to 10,000. He's like, still too many. So you're going to get, you know, another set of guys to go home. And he ends up with 300 men, right? But I just think he's like, okay, God, I said I got peace. So I'm just going to trust that you're going to do whatever you're going to do with these 300 guys. So in that, right, if everybody could donate a kidney to everyone else, then I think it would be, everyone would do it, you know, if it wasn't that big a deal. But there's a point where there's only certain people that are going to be able to do that for other people. And a lot of the times it's not necessarily family. Not someone who's blood related. So I went through several months of testing to ensure that my kidney was the right. There's a kidney donation involved. If you haven't caught that yet. the tests. You know, there's lots of different God sightings through the tests, through some different trials and things that were happening. But one of the last things that happened is you go to a stress test, and they test your heart. They make sure you're good for surgery. And one of the techs at the test was just came up to me and said, you know, thank you for doing this for this person, because I'm a kidney recipient, and it took 5 years for me to get a kidney, and I had to get it from a cadaver because no one living would donate. And a living donor is much better than a donor from the kidney from a cadaver, right? It's just less time, you know, in or out of production, you know, basically, that the kidney is better when it comes straight from someone who's living. So in September of 22, I was cleared for donation, right? And we were going to move forward. So we set a date for the surgery for November 16th. Now this September, November is a couple months away. You're like, why is that so far? But my wife and I, who've been married for 27 years, we had planned a cruise to Hawaii for February of 21, which didn't happen because other stuff was going on in the world, if you heard. But so we got to celebrate our 25th anniversary in late 22. Because that was about the timing that we could, so it was like our 26th and 3/4 anniversary, right? That we got to celebrate. So we had planned that. Jeff and Brittany, their anniversary was in early November. So we had just set that for the 16th. And I had begun to kind of share this with Cody Stanley, who was a campus pastor at the time at that campus. And he was like, you should bring Jeff in for prayer to men's breakfast. We do a men's breakfast similar to this. And I was like, okay, you know, that sounds great. And I don't know why I didn't think of that myself. But so we had set that for November 10th. Again, giving you dates because they're kind of important to the story. So in September, I had also started a class called Way of Disciple. Now, this is a class that Discovery puts on just to get you into like a deeper dive of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I had started this with some other men. We met on Tuesday nights, and during this time, you know, I had already been approved for the kidney donation, but I hadn't really talked about it with them. We were coming up to the time where we were going to pray in the next week for Jeff and I through the surgery, for the surgery, and I had just mentioned, you know, guys, I'm going to be out for the next couple of men's breakfasts probably because I have the surgery going on, and they're like, what surgery? And I'm like, oh, I didn't share that with you. So let me share this with you. I'm going to, you know, I decided, I have a neighbor, you know, we got to know him. We, you know, everything worked out, and I decided to donate my kidney to him. So we prayed, And we left it there. Now, the prayer was set for the 10th, but it had been moved to the 3rd because I didn't realize that I had some pre-op stuff going on the 10th. So another thing that was interesting in the way that it all worked out. So at the end, we pray, and we're getting ready to leave. And I didn't share his name with him because I just wasn't sure that I should do that. But at the end, I just really felt like I should share his name. And I'm like, okay, if you guys can be in prayer, you know, for the recipient, his name is Jeff Pantoja, and you know, I just want you guys to be in prayer, you know, up until the point. And Gio, who's one of the guys, and he's like, no way! He's like, that's my cousin. He's like, not only is it my cousin, I'm the second donor on the list. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, what? We've been in this class for like 6 weeks, 7 weeks. We don't even know this. And I had known his cousin was going through this at the same time, but never mentioned names, never talked about it, never met him. And so what do? We take a selfie, we send it to Jeff. We're like, look what just happened. And it was just incredible. It's like, God, how could you just set us both, first of all, both going through kidney donation for the same person, how could you put us in the same room learning about how to be a disciple of yours? And I was just like, on the way home, I'm like, honey, hands free, not this way, but honey, you'll never guess what happened. I'm like, this is just and these things were happening over and over again, God confirming to me that he was in this, right? So we go from there. On the 3rd, we go to pray. Jeff actually beat me there. I helped set up typically, and he beat me there. He helped set up. We're setting up the room, tables and everything else, and we go and we get prayed for, and we come sit down, and I sit down at the table, and I look at this sheet that was on the table, and it says, Aleph A.M. Men's Breakfast, Wise Guys, because we're studying the book of Proverbs, how to be a wise man in God's sight. November 3rd, 2022, Proverbs 11, Chris Willard, who I believe has spoken here, and the title is The Wise Man is a Generous Giver. And our campus pastor gets up, Mike Shirley, he's like, I have no words. He's like, we make this stuff, we set this schedule in the summer. This prayer just came about. We didn't really plan it. It was supposed to be next week. We had to have it move it to this week due to some other things. And the topic is the wise man is a generous giver. And I was just like, I'm like, Lord, I'm like, that's just crazy. And even Chris Willer's like, he's like, we didn't plan this, guys, but I'm going to travel with these guys now when I give this speech, right? So it was just amazing to me. And as we're sitting there at the table, Jeff goes, oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you. The doctor told me that you're a 98% match. And I'm like, what? I'm like, how am I a 98% match? And he's like, and Gio's like in the 90s, but not as high as you are. And I'm like, I'm not even blood related to you. How am I a 98% match, right? I'm like, there's just, how does that happen? But it can only happen in God's kingdom, right? And to me, I was just blown away. And it was one of the things that I also took from Gideon's story, right, was before he took the 300 and surrounded the camp, God said, listen, if you have fear, go down to the camp, listen to them. I want to hear what they're saying. So he goes down to the camp. He overhears two guys talking. The one guy's telling the other about his dream. And the other guy says, well, that sounds like God has handed us over to Gideon. And Gideon's going to basically destroy us. And Gideon's like, yes! He runs back and he gets the 300 and he does what he needs to do, right? For me, I was like, God prepared the victory before Gideon even took the 300 right to the edge, to where they needed to be, right? God had prepared it long before. God had prepared my kidney. I was just holding on to it for Jeff, right? You know, if you Google kidney exercises, you don't come up with a lot. There's not a lot of like, you know, what do I do to make a strong, I don't know. It's just not there, right? So for 52 years, I believe, and you know, in the book it talks about like God's timing, right? A thousand years is like a day is like a thousand years. So God was like, yeah, about an hour ago I decided that this was going to be, right? 52 years, about an hour in God's time, right? So it was just incredible. And through it all, Yahweh Shalom. I had peace. I had God's peace. Not my peace. I had God's peace. A crazy thing is that, does anybody remember what happened November 10th, 2022? What was going on? Someone decided to visit Florida, and her name was Hurricane Nicole. We canceled men's breakfast on the 10th. And I believe you canceled Iron Men of God on the 11th because the hurricane was doing its thing in Florida. So if we had waited, and we didn't know about the hurricane even just the week before. We only knew about it that weekend just prior. So if we had waited and not, if I had changed my appointments, we would have missed out, I feel, on what God was doing because he wanted us to be there on the 3rd. So to me, that was just enough. I mean, all these just God sightings were just incredible to me. So, and I believe that, you know, my assignment was continuing. You know, there was still work to be done, right? We hadn't done the surgery yet. So November 16th comes along. We're there for surgery. We're getting prepped and everything. I pray with Jeff. And it was interesting because Jeff has had high blood pressure problems, but his blood pressure that morning, normal, perfectly fine. And you think on the day of you're getting your, you know, your belly cut open to get a kidney, your blood pressure would be a little bit high, but it was normal. And throughout the whole process of me going through all these scans and tests and all these things, every time I would go, they would ask me, "Are you sure you want to do this? Are you being coerced? Do you feel pressured to do this?" And I'm like, "No, I have peace. I'm like, God is in this. He's been in this. He's going to be in this." So just before I'm laying down on the gurney, just before they're going to roll me into the operation room, and they're like, "Are you sure you want to do this?" I'm like, "Yes, Jeff is like 6 feet away from me over here. We just prayed. God has done all of these things. I'm going to do this, right?" I didn't say that, but in my head, I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Right? I'm like, "How can I say no now?" You know, and I don't remember anything else because then they went, "Psh!" And I was like, "Okay." But I really think it's, you know, Gideon had a choice even, I think, up to the point where he took the 300, right? He had the knowledge. He knew God was in it. He had heard from God. He had listened to God. But he then needed to act on it. Right? He needed to finish the assignment, and that was to go take the 300 and do what they needed to do, right, against the Midianites. So surgery went fantastic. I was out of surgery. I go in first. I come out first, and then they finish up with Jeff. I go up to my room after post-op, and they come up to me, and they're like, "So how are you feeling? How's the pain?" And I'm like, "I really hardly, maybe a 3? I don't have any pain." I'm like, "How is that possible? They just ripped an organ out of my body through my belly button, right?" And I'm like, "I don't feel any pain." I'm like, "Thank you, God, you know, that I don't feel any pain." And Jeff was still going through surgery, has a much bigger procedure than I have. But he came through it well. Went to visit him after. He was still a little loopy because he got the really good stuff. I got just the average stuff because my surgery wasn't as intensive. But it was just amazing. And to me, my wife, she gets on me sometimes because I have a lot of pictures of sunrises because that's where I really feel like I see God. I'm out for walks or runs early in the morning and it's before the sun rises and I'm like, "Oh," and she's like, "Oh, no. But I feel that. And my room in the hospital faced east. And, you know, if you've ever been in the hospital or known people in the hospital, it's not really a place where you get restful sleep, right? And that night, I just felt like I just slept well. I woke up, it was just before 4 a.m., and I'm like, "All right, Lord, I'm like, wired? What do we want? What are we doing? So I put on some worship music. I started, you know, roaming the halls, walking, because I know that when you walk, you get out quicker, right? The more you can walk, the more you can kind of get back to normal, you get out quicker. So I go back to the room. I'm sitting there. I'm just thanking God for just how he showed up. And then just sunrise, just amazing reds and oranges. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I mean, you have been in this. You are still in this. And it was incredible. That day I was home. Best case scenario. One night in the hospital, I'm home. I'm home that afternoon. Less than 24 hours, really, in the hospital. Jeff, lot bigger, lot more recovery, right? He was home on Sunday, which was his best case scenario, 4 days after. While Jeff was going through dialysis, his creatinine levels were 8. Normal is 0.6 to 1.2. The day after surgery, his creatinine levels were in the 6. 2 days later, they were in the 4s. 3 days later, they were in the 2s. So the kidney was doing its job, right? His kidney is doing its job, right? And it was, you don't need dialysis anymore. You know, you're good to go. Everything looks good. We're going to have to get your meds right. We're going to spend a lot of time doing that. But everything is tracking where it needs to be. And it's just amazing to me how that just how God just does all that. You know, I lost like 10 pounds. So my kidney was like, I think like this big. But, you know, I'm like, I don't know how they got it. But not really, but through the whole process, I'm like, I've been trying to lose this weight. Who knew I just needed to give a kidney away and I could lose this weight? But so months later, right, our sons are playing flag football together. Jeff is actually like assistant coach. He's running around. He's out there, you know, with the kids and just doing normal everyday stuff. And his wife, Brittany, was like, you know, it's incredible for me to see him like this now because of the way he was while this was going on. Dialysis and everything was so draining and just amazing to have him back to a normal life, right? So my thing in this story, and really in God's story, that I feel like is that, you know, I don't really feel like I'm anything special, but in my own mind, right? I don't feel that way. But in God's eyes, we all are, right? We are each special. We each have an assignment, I feel, that God wants us to do, right? We, you know, Abraham had an assignment. Noah had an assignment. You know, build a boat in the middle of the desert. Okay, God. You know, Moses, Gideon, they all have assignments, right? Because they heard from God. To me, the thing is, like, I felt like I wasn't hearing from God, and I definitely wasn't listening because I wasn't hearing him, right? And hearing is a passive activity, right? You can hear music, you can hear things going on, but unless you listen, you don't actually know what's being said, right? So we need to hear from God. We need to listen to God. So we need to take that active part in it, but we also need to do and follow through what God is asking us to do, right? Let me finish up with this. I had to brag on my youngest son really quick. We watched The Chosen, and I had watched it, and then I watched it with my wife, and then I watched it with our son, Jacob, who's was 10 at the time when we started watching it, the third season. So the third season comes out, and it's somewhat of a spoiler, but it's about the Sermon on the Mount, the first show of the third season. But you can read that in the Bible, too, so it's not really that much of a of a spoiler. So I'm like, okay, we're going to start this in a few minutes. I'm going to take a shower. I'm going to come back out. I go in, come back out, and Jacob is reading the Bible, which he never does on his own. And I look at my wife, Jen. I'm like, and she's like, I don't know. He just went and got his Bible. So we start the show, and a couple minutes in, you know, Jesus, the character of Jesus, is delivering the Sermon on the Mount, and Jacob goes, wait, stop, pause the show. He opens the Bible. He's like, I was just reading this. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I was just reading this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Play. Wait, I was just reading that. I'm like, so after a couple more times, I'm like, okay, Jacob, I got it. You know, you read what the Sermon on the Mount, and let's just continue to watch the show. And later on, I'm like, Jacob, why were you reading the Bible? He's like, I really felt like God was telling me that I should read the Bible. And I just went and got it, and that's where I opened to and what I read. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, you're saying that you heard from God, you listened to God, and you did what God asked you to do. I'm like, that's incredible. I'm like, I want more of that in my life from my 10-year-old son, right? I want more of that experience to be able to just, okay, God, you said to do this, let me go do it, right? We just finished up a study of James at Discovery, and James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says, otherwise you are only fooling yourselves, right? We can't just have the knowledge. We have to act on the knowledge, right? And James 2:26 says, just as the body is dead without breath, so all faith is dead without works. And this is what David was referencing, right? That if you have faith in God, and that faith should make you want to work. Not that your work saves you in any way, because Christ completed that assignment already, right? He had the biggest assignment, right? He went to the cross, he died, and he was resurrected, right? That was his assignment. And he opened the door for all of us to experience those same types of things, right? So basically, my question is, you know, Gideon didn't just sit by when God spoke to him. He listened, and he did what God asked him to do. So my question is, what is God asking you to do? Thank you.